We're doing Tractate Beitza, Masechet Beitza. We're up to the second chapter of the first Mishnah. One is not allowed to cook or bake on Shabbat. Biblical prohibition. Torah tells us on Yom Tov it is permissible. You're not allowed to light a new fire, but if you have a fire going already, you are allowed to cook and bake on that fire on Yom Tov for the sake of Yom Tov. You are not allowed to cook or bake on that fire for a weekday. You are not allowed to cook or bake on that fire on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Even if Yom Tov falls out on a Friday, you're not allowed to cook and bake on Friday for Shabbos. Okay? Biblical prohibition. Now, what happens if I'm going to cook a bunch of eggs? So, my kids want to eat hard-boiled eggs. So I say, okay, I'll take 2 dozen eggs, put them in a pot, cook them for my kids. Take 2 dozen eggs, put them in the pot, put them on the fire. Now, I don't have 2 dozen kids, right? What am I really thinking? Well, they'll eat a few eggs, and the leftover eggs I'll have for egg salad on Shabbos, or I'll have to feed them on Shabbos, or I'll have to feed my guests on Shabbos. But potentially, they might eat it on Yom Tov. So, the rule is, biblically and rabbinically, anything that you might eat on Yom Tov, you could cook on Yom Tov. Now, what about anything that you might eat if you have guests? So let's say it's 3 hours before Yom Tov is over, and you want to put a big pot of chillant on the fire. It's going to be ready in an hour and a half. There's no way in an hour and a half you and your family are going to polish off that pot of chillant. But your in-laws might surprise you. They might have walked in to say hello with all your siblings and your brothers-in-law and everything. Who knows? You want to have something to serve them, right? They might just show up. So we say that anything that you might use, maybe the guys at the machon are going to knock on your door. Say, hey, we're hungry. There's no food today. Maybe you got something? Right. It's possible that 7-10 people will show up at your door. It's happened to me. It happened to you. So we say that's also permissible biblically. Rabbinically, the rabbi said, we're concerned. What's going to happen? A guy is going to prepare his meal for Yom Tov and for Shabbos. And then when Yom Tov comes, he's going to say, gee, that steak looks really delicious. I'll just take a piece. And his son is going to say, Dad, could I also just take a piece? And pretty quickly, they're going to end up polishing off all the food they prepared for Yom Tov and Shabbos on Yom Tov. And come Shabbos, they're going to have nothing left. So the rabbi said, we are going to make an institution. You have to make an Erev Tavshilin. When Yom Tov falls out on a Friday, you may not cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos unless you started preparing for Shabbos on Thursday before Yom Tov. If you start preparing for Shabbos before Yom Tov came in, you're already busy preparing for Shabbos, that's going to ensure that you don't get carried away over Yom Tov and you end up saving some good food for Shabbos as well. If you did that, we will permit you to also cook on Yom Tov, so long as you might still have guests coming. We said then biblically it is permitted, right? So then we will even permit you rabbinically to cook for Shabbos. But let's say you did not prepare an Erev Tavshilin. Then the rabbi said, no cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So everyone prepares an Erev Tavshilin. Anytime Yom Tov falls out on a Friday before Shabbos, or let's say it's Rosh Hashanah, so it's a two-day Yom Tov. It's going to be Thursday, Friday, and then go into Shabbos. Or if you're in Chutzlar, then it's going to be a Thursday, Friday, two-day Yom Tov going into Shabbos. So then before Yom Tov, we have a rabbinic institution, we even make a blessing over it, that we prepare an Erev Tavshilin. And that's what our mission is going to focus on. So the idea of an Erev Tavshilin is to ensure that we will honor the Shabbat, that we won't get carried away eating up the food and end up eating up the food for Shabbos and not have anything left for Shabbos.
Why is this symbolic act prevent us? Why does it prevent us from presuming to for Shabbos?
Once I've had Shabbos in mind the day before Yom Tov already, so my awareness is heightened to ensure that I'll also have good food for Shabbos. I'm not going to forget Shabbos. I've already thought of Shabbos the day before Yom Tov. The afternoon before Yom Tov set in, I was already busy preparing for Shabbos.
But it doesn't ensure.
It's an institution that's supposed to help us.
Okay.
Till here, are we all together? Let's pause. You guys all got it? Now let's rewind. I'm going to say it over. Totally different. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Two opinions in the Talmud. Okay? This was one opinion. Now let's go on to opinion number two. You're advanced. You guys can follow this. Okay? Opinion number two. Opinion number two. Rabbi said, if people are going to be allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, what's the guy going to think? What's the housewife going to think? Friday afternoon, I'm putting up 24 eggs. I'm not going to eat them on Yom Tov. I can cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Right? I'm going to put up this huge pot of chon. Why? Because my in-laws and everyone else is showing up on Shabbos afternoon to eat by me. Who am I kidding? I'm cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. You know what? If I could cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, so even when Yom Tov is on a regular, it's on a Sunday, Monday. So on Monday, I'll cook all the kids' meals for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'll cook from Yom Tov to weekday. And biblical prohibition. But if we're going to allow people to go with the biblical permissibility of cooking, because maybe guests will come, so technically, that would be enough to allow them to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. What's going to happen? People will end up desecrating Yom Tov. Remember, the first explanation was the whole institution of Erev Tavshilin was to protect the sanctity of Shabbat, to ensure that you have food for Shabbat. The second understanding in the Talmud says, no, the whole institution of Erev Tavshilin was to protect the sanctity of Yom Tov. Because if you're going to allow people to freely cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, people will say, gee, if I could cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, next Yom Tov I know what I'm doing. I'm spending the afternoon of Yom Tov cooking the meals for the rest of the week, for the weekdays. Right? So Chazal said, no can do. You want to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? You have to do this whole special thing before Yom Tov. You have to make an Erev Tavshilin, you take an egg, you take a piece of bread, you say, because I make this institution, it should be permissible for me to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Now when the woman comes to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, she says, wow, Yom Tov is so special, I can't even cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos if I didn't do a special Erev Tavshilin yesterday in preparation. I certainly can't cook from Yom Tov to a weekday. So two understandings in the Talmud. Either it was instituted to protect the sanctity of Shabbos or to protect the sanctity of Yom Tov. Two things. Now that we've had this whole long introduction, and remember, what was the first thing we said? When are you allowed to cook biblically? At a time that you could technically enjoy that food on Yom Tov. But what would happen if your wives would tell you, honey, 45 minutes is Shabbos, I want to put up some chon. I want to put up some stuff, should be ready for Shabbos. You're going to be smart. You're going to say, I learned way back when, my first year in Machon Meir, that that's a biblical prohibition. We can't do that. The Erev Tavshilin only permits us to cook at a time when it's biblically permitted to cook. But now's the time when there's no way we'd have any benefit from that. By the time it's cooked, it's Shabbos. It's going to be ready 2 minutes before Shabbos. You can't cook on Yom Tov for 2 minutes before Shabbos. People don't know this. People think, I have an Erev Tavshilin, so I could still cook late in the afternoon for Shabbos. Incorrect. That's a biblical prohibition.
What's the line?
The line is what we said. Provided that it is going to be ready at a time where you could potentially use it on Yom Tov. Potentially means even if you need all of Machon Meir to show up at your door. There's no way you're going to eat it on Yom Tov with your own family. But theoretically, maybe we'll all show up. It has to be usable for that number of people, realistically, on Yom Tov.
We can kick off we can destroy a chomet in minutes.
Okay, so maybe not all of Machon Meir. It has to be a normal amount of guests.
Theoretically,
so
all the assessments, a very general kind of.
So you have to be careful. You have to have everything ready 45 minutes before Shabbos. You can't have things cooking till the last half hour, 45 minutes before Shabbos. If you have one egg cooking, okay. You know, one egg you could eat. You have one toast. You have one piece of meat. It has to be reasonable.
So if you're talking about reasonable time, how about the actual dish itself, it being an impossibility that you did it? It's a dish only for Shabbat that you would never.
No, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Because if I came to your house, you'd honor me with that dish, even though it was young. Maybe not me, Rabbi Gohan. Someone. There's someone who you'd honor with that dish. Okay. Say that. Your father, your grandfather. I don't know. Someone. Okay. Yom Tov. So now with that introduction, we can begin our chapter, which is going to focus on the laws of Erev Tavshilin. Yom Tov Shechal Yot Erev Shabbat. If we have a Yom Tov that comes out on the eve of Shabbos, on Friday. Lo yivashel adam batechila miYom Tov leShabbat. You're not allowed to just put up a pot and start cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You can't just say, gee, I have a pot of eggs. Let me cook them for Shabbos. No. Aval mevashelu liyom tov. But what you could do is cook for yom tov. You cook the amount of eggs you think you'll eat on yom tov. Ve'imotir otir lo Shabbat. And if he has any leftovers, good. So that'll be left over for Shabbos. No games, no shenanigans. You want to cook for yom tov, you could. You have leftover for Shabbos, good. Do we learn halacha from Mishnah? No. And yes. No and yes. What does that mean? It means technically all of the halacha is rooted in the Mishnah. But we, without the Talmud and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, we don't know how to learn halacha from Mishnah. So if you learn halacha from a Mishnah, you're an Amoritz. So we won't be Amoratzim, we'll be Tamid HaChachamim, and so we'll say we don't know. See, Talmud Chacham says, I don't know. We learned the Mishnah, what do we walk away with? We know this is what the Mishnah says. What's the halacha? When we learn the halacha, we'll know the halacha. I only interjected one point in halacha that I felt you guys had to know, because you might go your whole life without hearing it again. So tonight you learned it. But usually we don't do halacha here. This is Mishnah. This is the basis of the Talmud, which is the basis of the halacha. Adam, where's your smile? Everything's okay? Yeah.
The don't cook the last 45 minutes of Yom Tov, that's only without an Erev Tov Shilin?
No, even with an Erev Tov Shilin. That was the point. That the Erev Tov Shilin can only permit me things that are biblically permitted. Cannot permit
you
something that's biblically prohibited.
You can cook on Yom Tov without Erev Tov Shilin. Right?
You could cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov without an Erev Tov Shilin. Correct.
So what is it?
The Erev Tov Shilin allows me to cook on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. But it must be done at a time where I could still eat it on Yom Tov. Doset of Shin Me'er Yom Tov v'Somech Alav La Shabbat. And a person makes an Erev Tov Shilin. He cooks something on the eve of Yom Tov, just before Yom Tov, and then he could rely on it for Shabbos. When we make an Erev Tov Shilin, we make a bracha on it. And what do we use for the Erev Tov Shilin? So Beis Shammai Omrim. Why are they mentioned first in the Mishnah, Yosef, Ticha? Why are Beis Shammai always mentioned first in the Mishnah?
Because
Beis Hillel were modest and they'd always first mention Beis Shammai's opinion. Shnei Tavshilin. Beis Shammai say, for the Erev Tavshilin, one must prepare two types of cooked items. Uvet Hillel omrim Tavshil echad. And Beis Hillel say, it's enough to use one cooked item, but you have to have one cooked and one baked. So do you have to cook something special for the Erev Tov Shilin? No. If you have baked applesauce, cooked applesauce, you can take out cooked applesauce. The custom is to take an egg and a matzah. That's the custom. An egg and a matzah, or an egg. And that's what you use for the Erev Tov Shilin, and then we eat it Shabbos day. You can eat the Erev Tov Shilin, but after you eat it, you can't cook anymore from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So usually we don't eat it on Yom Tov, we eat it on Shabbos. And once we did one mitzvah with it, namely use it for this rabbinic institution, we do another mitzvah, and that is honor the Shabbos, by eating it on Shabbos. The Shavim, the Dagovitzah, Shalav, Shen, Shnei Tavshilin. They both agree that if you have a fish cooked with the egg on top of it, that that's considered as two cooked items. Achalo, let's say a person ate his Erev Tavshilin, or Shabbat, or got lost. The cat came into the room, and now the Erev Tavshilin is gone. We don't know if she ate it, she took it into her hole, we don't know, it's gone. Lo yivashel alav batzilah, then you can't start cooking things for Shabbos, because you no longer have an Erev Tavshilin. If this happens, you don't know, ask your local laws, that's rabbi. Ve'im shiyam imenu kol shu, and if you have a little bit left over, sumech alav la Shabbat, then that's enough. You only need a kezayis, technically. We use this big egg, and we use a big matzah, but technically you only need a kezayis of something baked, and a kezayis of something cooked. And that brings us to the conclusion of, what?
This is koshu.
Right, koshu means something, anything.
Right.
No, so koshu is defined in every scenario, what does it mean? And in this scenario, it means a kezayis. Koshu on the surface means anything, but in every case, the Talmud or the Rishonim defined as how small a koshu. Does it mean a crumb? No, it means a kezayis. That's a good point. No, it's good that you brought it out. Very good.